As I hike familiar paths along the trails of North Vancouver, I have been noticing the ground more. Maybe it's because I'm avoiding the big puddles, but nevertheless, I've been noticing the paths that have been laid out for me. Pathways made of concrete, made of asphalt, of dirt, of stone. Ones that are easy to find, ones that still have other people's footprints left in them, and others that require the imagination. Because the only thing that keeps me on the right path is the orange tape that's tied to the trees as you move through. And it's made me ponder other paths. Pathways that are made by tradition or of habits of communities. Pathways that are patterned by institutions. And I've also thought of paths that I have made where there were none. And I'm sure you can think of forging a way where there was no road for yourself. And we make these paths through imagination. We make them through dreaming, through effort, through intention. We make these paths with words, with paint and with paper. We fashion them with our longing, and we fashion them with our prayer. What does it take to make a way where there is none? What does it take to create a passage from one place to another? I am aware that sometimes I find a path simply by stumbling onto it. And sometimes in life we are called to tear apart a road, to build it again in a different direction. Well, the path that we are called to on this particular day of our Advent season is one when John the Baptist comes over the wilderness horizon, smelling of camel's hair, his lips dripping with honey and with fire, and he's pointing us toward a way that we can make only by what we give up, by what we shed, by what we let go. He announces a realm that we have called repentance, a realm of turning away and turning toward. It is a way that requires surrender. This is preparing the way for Christ. A way we stumble on, but my friends, it is a well-traveled way. Many have gone before us on it, and we are preparing the way for the many who will follow behind us. So I wonder what the future looked like for the Isaiah community, that first reading. They were living during the 6th and 7th century before Christ BCE. And Isaiah, in this passage, was prophesying as he looked over a battlefield. What imagination this man had. As people were destroying each other, as trees were being cut down and land was laid to waste, in the middle of a battlefield, he noticed a stump. And out of that stump was growing one little shoot. And it gave him the hope of the possibility of peace. Israel's yearning for the way of peace is beautifully painted by the artist Edward Hicks. He's a 19th century Pennsylvanian man, quite a character, a Quaker, a preacher, and an artist. And he painted just about the same artwork 11 dozen times. That's 11 times 12 original pieces of the same, just about the same scene. On the right-hand side of the art, you see predators lying down with their prey, just as Isaiah had imagined, led by a child. And far in the backdrop, you notice this historic treaty being made in the US between William Penn and the Lenape American Indigenous people. What was meant to be a peaceable agreement, we know ultimately failed. And I wonder if in Edward Hicks's painting over and over again, he's inviting us to consider what it looks like to repent, to say no to our animalistic, ignoble instincts where we pit us against one another, to abandon these warring natures and to walk the way of the peace of Christ. We're called today to prepare the way, a way that we may stumble on, but a well-traveled way. As I walk these BC forests, I too, like Isaiah, see many fallen logs. Some are dried and die out, and others become a nursing log, like that of the stump of Jesse, that nurture other shoots. How many faith traditions have the Jewish nation nurtured? And these nurse logs, these fallen trees, as they decay, they provide nutrients and shade and support to new seedlings. The nurse log offers water and moss and leaf litter and support for sunlight. And some studies show it may even give disease protection for these little seedlings to survive. And this, my friends, for me, is this image of how one faithful generation provides support for the emerging Christian way that will nourish the next generation. The emerging Christian way seems to be no longer a belief-centered Christianity, but a transformative way, where we're committed to a way, a path of transformation, as we follow these footsteps of the wisdom of Jesus. And we are called to integrate our lives, our knowledge of nature and science and history and culture and religions and technology, into our unique life story on this way, where old ways become new in our living. I was most intrigued this week reading an article in the Anglican Communion News Service online. This little church in Santa Monica in California, called St. Augustine by the Sea Episcopal Church, is offering a little twist on what we know as the divine office. As they looked at the needs of their greater community, they discovered that many home-based professionals were working alone, at home all day in front of their MacBook, on their cell phones, earning their money, or perhaps moving to a Starbucks coffee shop so that they could at least have some company. And so what they did is they offered a space that blended monastic-style spirituality while creating co-working spaces. The divine office. Love it. It's like a day monastery where people will come to work and worship. Instead of going off to a retreat and coming home and then getting back into the rhythm, why not wrap and envelop our work lives in prayer? For is that not the intention of the tradition of the monastic life? New monasticism. It's like a nurse log that has birthed a new way that nurtures and feeds this generation. I wonder what we are called to. An old way birthing a new form, preparing the way of Christ. I've been listening to singer-songwriter Andrew Peterson, and he writes a song for his son as he leaves home, 18. And as I've listened to these words, I have been longing for us as a community to forge a creative path that welcomes our children and our grandchildren to walk in their way, but on the old roads. And the lyrics go like this. When I look at you, boy, I see the road that lies ahead. I can see the love and I can see the sorrow. Bright fields of joy, dark nights awake in a stormy bed. I want to go with you, but I can't follow. So keep to the old roads. Keep to the old roads and you'll find your way. Your first kiss, your first crush, the first time you know you're not enough, the first time there's no one there to hold you. Please remember the words that I told you. Keep to the old roads. Keep to the old roads and you'll find your way. If love is what you're looking for, these old roads lead to an open door, and you'll find your way. You'll find your way.